We had been talking for some time and encouraged the church to consider, the parish council was talking about actually getting around to switching the words of the liturgy to what the church has actually been using for about 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we've been talking about that and asked folks in the congregation to think about it. And the question obviously comes up in some ways, why? Why do we want to do that? Well, often when we go to other churches, folks are saying different prayers. And we're sort of tracking along behind. And when folks come here, they're sort of tracking along with us. So this is a conversation and a discussion that we've been having and encourage people to think about it. Well, I come across, in trying to answer the question why, a letter from a church member to a politician giving an explanation of kind of what we do here. The politician wasn't a Christian, wasn't a Catholic, kind of trying to figure out what we do here. And I just wanted to read a couple excerpts from that kind of jump around a little bit, but to give you a flavor of this letter. And he says that on the day called Sunday, all who live in the country and the cities gather together in one place, and the memoirs or the gospels of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. And then the reader ceases, and the presbyter or the priest verbally instructs and exhorts all of us to imitate these good things. We all rise together and pray. When our prayer is ended, bread, wine, and water are brought, and the presbyter in a like way offers prayers of thanksgiving. And the people assent by saying amen, and it's distributed, and we give thanks, and those who are absent portions are taken to and provided by the deacon. This happens on Sunday because that is the day that the Lord was raised from the dead. Further instruction says that the presbyter, the brethren, takes bread and wine mixed with water, gives praise, gives glory to the God of the universe, the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and concludes the prayers, all the people say amen, which in Hebrew means so be it. And those who are, you know, the deacons again take the bread and the wine out in thanksgiving to people who are absent. This food is called the Eucharist, which no one is allowed to partake except for those who believe that these things are true. And you know, this isn't an ordinary bread or wine, but this is the communion, bread and communion drink, and we receive these in like manner as our Savior Jesus Christ instructed. The apostles and their memoirs, which are called the Gospels, delivered them unto us and joined in us. Jesus took bread, said, gave thanks, said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. In the same manner, having taken the cup, gave thanks and said, this is my blood. And he gave it to them. So that's kind of the instruction of the letter. Sound familiar? It's kind of what we do, right? This is written to Emperor Caesar Marcus Aurelius by Justin Martyr in about the year 155. Now, his last name wasn't Martyr, okay? Kind of gives you an idea of how well the emperor received this letter. This is from Justin Martyr's first apology. Now, the word apology doesn't mean saying, I'm sorry. Apology in Greek is from the word apologio, which means to defend. So Justin Martyr, he is a doctor of the church, an apostolic doctor of the church because of his close association with the apostles. He was a student of St. Polycarp, who was a student of St. John, the beloved disciple. So that's how close he is. He's giving an instruction to the emperor because basically they burned St. Polycarp at the stake, right? And it's like, oh, this is a bad idea. You know, let's give these people an idea of what we do, because at that point, if you weren't a member of the community, you weren't allowed to come in. So you didn't come in. I mean, you weren't, if you weren't a baptized Christian receiving, you didn't come in. Well, it makes sense, because they didn't want people in there that were going to bump them off, right? So he gives this instruction to the emperor. Didn't well go well for Justin. They snatched him up somewhere, beat him to death, and then cut off his head. But he gives this instruction on what we do. Now, often we get all wrapped up in the words. Now, I'm not saying they're not important. And, you know, the theological aspects and changing the stuff. And, you know, I tend to be a supporter of doing what the church does and the rest of it. But why? Why do we do what we do? I think that when we look at this explanation that was connected right with the apostles for 2,000 years, that's what we've been doing. Not significantly changed. And why do we do it? It's because it's what Jesus did. What Jesus did. Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood. When you take this, remember me." And it is in the remembering of Jesus that Jesus is then present among us. What else did Jesus do? I think our Gospels are profound for us today. We read the story of the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. Now, it's not lost on me, and certainly on any of us, that there are members of this congregation who have lost children. And I can't get my head wrapped around at all how horrible and painful that must be. Throughout the scripture, the widow is really, and there's a whole study, you know, on the role of the widow in the scripture and in the tradition of Israel. The widow is the one who is the most destitute. Because again, this is a patriarchal society. And as a woman, you needed A, to have a husband, but if you didn't have a husband, you'd better have a son to take care of you. And this woman had neither one. And yet Jesus comes, and as a rabbi, he does the most bizarre thing in that culture that you could imagine. He reaches out and he touches death. He touches the coffin, and actually the word in Greek is probably more like the shroud. The Egyptians and the Romans were more likely to use coffins. The Hebrews usually would do a shroud, and he was probably being carried on a litter. And Jesus reaches out and touches it. Now, in that act, he rendered himself ritually impure. Remember the Good Samaritan? They came up, and it's like, oh, well, that dude might be dead. We don't know for sure, but we're getting away from him. You didn't reach out and touch death. There's three stories of resurrection or raising from the dead in the Gospels. This is one. The daughter of Jairus is another, where Jesus went in and he went up into the upper room and again touched death. Little girl, rise up. And then the raising of Lazarus, where he rolled the tomb back and they said there's going to be a bad smell. He's been there for 3 days. He touches death. He goes against all the religious norms of the day about how things are going to happen for the sake of compassion for this individual. And he reaches out and touches death, and when he touches death, life comes. Now, why did we start out talking about the liturgy and Justin Martyr? Because it's what Jesus did. He said, eat this. And then the second point is, what did Jesus do? He touched death. It's easy for us to come to church and receive the Eucharist. You know what's really hard? To touch death. And I don't mean just, you know, going to somebody's funeral or going to the hospital and visiting or praying for somebody. Yeah, I mean, that's touching death. But most of us in our lives touch death in so many other profound ways. We touch death in the sickness of a loved one. We touch death in the death of a dream. Geez, I always wanted to do this or that, and I never got the opportunity. Gee, you know, maybe I shouldn't have married this person. I should have married somebody else. I know that somebody I love is hurting themselves through their own behaviors, and I have to stand by and watch, and I've talked to them until I'm blue in the face, and they will not change. That's death. Sometimes it's a broken heart, a broken relationship. That's reaching out and touching death. But why do you touch death? For the sake of death? No. St. Paul says, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Because Jesus has victory over death. He shows that not only in his resurrection, clearly and most powerfully, but also here in the Gospels in three different ways where he reaches out and against all norms of the culture, reaches out and touches death, and life comes into the midst of it. We who are fed here at this table, our challenge is to go out every day and touch death, whether that's in our family, in our community, or even in our own hearts. That which is dead within us. And then we bring life. That's why we come here and eat. So we can go out there and touch death. I just see it all the time. With a young woman the other day, profoundly mentally ill, bipolar, schizophrenic, heroin addict. Who in the midst of sharing her life looked up and said, I think I need God. I said, yeah, pretty much. Because in this death that surrounds her, I'm convinced that's the only thing that's going to make a difference. Because you can't sort through all of that stuff without it. What things in your life are dead? Are hopeless? That you've given up on? What about the people that you feel are hopeless or have given up on? Never despair, never be afraid to reach out and touch it. We've talked about St. Francis' Year of Mercy. Jump the gun. Pope Francis' Year of Mercy. And he talks about the spiritual acts of mercy. Last of the seven spiritual acts of mercy is burying the dead. The first four, counseling the doubtful, instructing the ignorant, admonishing sinners, comforting the sorrowful. You know what they all have in common? Listening. How do you touch the dead? First, you've got to listen. Four of the seven acts of mercy
They're all about the spiritual acts of mercy are just about listening.
And you bring life. Husbands, your wife starts to talk to you. What do you want to do? You come up with the answer. You want to fix it. She doesn't want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. Listen to what's going on. Touch that within me that is dead. Be there for me. You know what? That's what we're called to do for one another. Justin Martyr instructed the emperor about what it meant to be a Christian. You come to church, you say some prayers, you read from the prophets, you read from the gospel, a guy talks about it, you share bread and wine and water, becomes the body and blood of Jesus, and you take it out to the sick afterwards. Why do we do that? Because Jesus told us to do it. Pretty simple. Got him killed. Got Jesus killed. But death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Jesus reached out and touched death against all cultural norms. Who are the dead that you are called to touch? Don't be afraid. Can't hurt you. But you can bring life. We're told the gates of hell will not persevere and prevail against what we do. The gates are on that side. The gates are to keep us out. Okay? We don't have to be afraid of that. And I guess that's why they call it good news, huh?